Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Social Security. What is Social Security and who qualifies for Social Security benefits? Non-citizens and benefits, and are these benefits in jeopardy? Things we want to talk about tonight. Some people, you know, probably not even worry about Social Security benefits. It might only be thinking about our retirement benefits. They're nowhere near it. Money's being taken out of your check and, you know, off to the races every morning, going to work, stuff like that. I can feel that because I feel it'll be paycheck myself. Anyway, from thepeer.com, right? Social Security statistics. They say as of 2022, 66 million Americans receive Social Security benefits every month. As of October 2022, the average Social Security benefit is $1,550.48 per month, right? $1,550.48 per month, right? The annual cost of Social Security is currently $1.2 trillion. They said there were 46.7 million American retirees who received Social Security. From CBPP.org research, said in fact, 97% of older adults aged 60 to 89 either receive Social Security or will receive it. Right? So that's very important because that's the origin of Social Security dealing with older people, Social Security, economic security for older people. That's its origin. So from Social Security Agency.gov, SSA.gov, right? Social Security pays five types of benefits, just in case you didn't know. Retirement, disability, spouses, dependent children, right? Spouses/independent children, survivors, unfortunately, parent dies, and you have Medicare, right? Medicaid is a joint federal and state program that helps with medical costs for people with low income and limited resources, right? Medicaid is for people 65 years of age or older, certain young people with disabilities, people with permanent kidney failure and dialysis or transplant, or sometimes called end-stage renal disease, right? So that's what Medicare is, a little different. Medicaid, you're all familiar with it, right? So again, another from www.ssa.gov, right? History. It says, this was a federal state program designed to provide assistance on the basis of need for persons over 65 years of age, dependent children, and the needy blind. Okay. The Social Security number was created in 1936 for the sole purpose of tracking the earning histories of U.S. workers for use in determining Social Security benefit entitlement and computing benefit levels. Now, I know some folks that will argue of use for the Social Security number, but we're not going to go there. This not tonight's show is about Social Security. So, you know, we're just going to, the benefit, not the use of the Social Security number or anything like that, right? So, the Immigration Reform Law Institute, the IRLI, on behalf of the Federation of American Immigration Reform, filed a lawsuit against the Social Security Administration. This is weird. Seeking on records related to its Obama-era decision to halt sending no-match letters to employees. The long-held practice of sending the letters had been used to prevent fraud through the use of stolen Social Security numbers, right? By illegal aliens and other criminals, right? The SSA, Social Security Administration, has estimated that 3 out of every 4 illegal aliens possess a Social Security number, which had either been stolen from an American citizen or legal resident or simply made up. It said, although almost never reported on, when illegal aliens steal a Social Security number, the consequences can be very serious for the legitimate user, right? Because they're going to think that you are hiding money, you know, lying to them when you paperwork. And it say reconciling that issue is estimated to cost thousands of dollars and take years of effort. So from CNBC, do undocumented immigrants receive Social Security? Undocumented immigrants are not legally permitted to receive Social Security benefits, and they say few actually do. Right? Undocumented immigrants who don't have a Social Security number may choose to use an individual taxpayer identification number or an ITIN, or may even use a fake Social Security number to pay payroll taxes. Even though undocumented immigrants are legally required to pay taxes, This is crazy right here. Those who use the ITIN, the individual taxpayer identification number, to do so cannot receive Social Security retirement benefits. Right? They said those who use fake Social Security numbers may not receive retirement benefits since they don't have the tax forms that match up with the existing Social Security number. Ooh, that is the price for undocumented immigrants paying into a system they will not, for the most part, receive benefits from. But I'm assuming that there are some who able to finagle that system. From SSA.gov again, Social Security is financed through a dedicated payroll tax, right? Employers and employees each pay 6.2% of wages up to the taxable minimum of $160,200 in 2023, which we just shifted to, right? While self-employed people pay 12.4%, right? From Investopedia.com, who is exempt from paying Social Security? Self-employed workers who make less than $400 annually do not need to worry about paying Social Security taxes. High-income individuals are also exempt from paying the tax on any earnings over this is the 2022 147,000 threshold in 2022 and 160,200 in 2023. From SSA.gov, the Social Security Act amendments of 1950 became law on August 28, 1950, when President Truman affixed his signature to H.R. 6000. The new Social Security bill became public law 734 at the 81st Congress, second session. All right, let me go back to this exhibit for Social Security. I don't know if people caught that. Said that if you earn, it's 2023 now. So they said if you earn more than $160,200, right, you only going to pay taxes on $160,200. If you made $1 million, you just say you're only going to pay Social Security taxes on $160,200. Right? They got to, everybody else pays 100% of their income. If you make $30,000, you can tax, your Social Security tax is calculated from $30,000. If you make $1 million, your Social Security tax in 2023 is calculated up to the threshold, right? Base, or whatever you want to call it, of $160,200. From SSA.gov, history brief history of Social Security. Why was Social Security tax created? So it was conceived by President Roosevelt. He addressed the permanent problem of economic security for the elderly by creating a work-related contributory system in which workers would provide for their own future economic security through taxes paid while employed. Right? So if you, that's very important. Workers, right? I find the wording in some of the things about Social Security particularly, because I don't think I've seen the word citizen in none of the stuff that I've seen, but maybe it is because I haven't read that much. But anyway, Social Security Act did not quite achieve all the aspirations the supporters had hoped for in the beginning, right? Certain features of that package, notably disability coverage and medical benefits, would have to wait for the future because that wasn't covered, right? In its beginning, you know, it's an infant, right? It did provide a wide range of programs to meet the nation's needs. It included unemployment insurance, old age assistance, aid to dependent children, and grants to the states to provide various forms of medical care, right? So the two provisions relating to the elderly were the Title I grant to states for old age assistance, which supported state welfare programs for the aged, right? So Title II, federal old age benefits. It was Title II that was the new Social Insurance program we now think of as Social Security. In the original act, benefits were to be paid only to the primary worker when he or she retired at age 65. Benefits were to be based on payroll tax contributions that the worker made during, you know, the time they was working. So that's your employer, right? Taxes would be collected in 1937, and most monthly benefits would begin in 1942, but they had an amendment passed in 1939, and payments were advanced to 1940. The significance of the new Social Insurance Program was that it sought to address the long-range problem of economic security for the aged through a contributory system, which you put money into, right? Right, your employer, somebody put money into, right? In which the workers themselves contribute to their own future retirement benefit by making regular payments into a joint fund. And they're saying that this is a, that's like a, everybody put money in a basket, kind of like that, right? Title I was to be a temporary relief program that would eventually disappear as more people were able to obtain retirement through the contributory system, right? Seems like it's all contributory, get tax dollars to pay for it, but they're saying you pay directly into Social Security. I get it. The new social insurance system was also a very moderate alternative to the radical call to action that were so common in the America of the 1930s, they say, right? In 1939, amendments were made, a fundamental change in the Social Security program. The amendments added two new categories of benefits, payments to the spouse and minor children of a retired worker, so-called dependent benefits, right? And survivor benefits paid to the family in the event premature death of the worker, right? This transformed Social Security from a retirement program for workers into a family-based economic security program. So, in 1939, amendments also increased benefit amounts and accelerated the start of monthly benefit payments to 1940, which I said, right? Disability, the Social Security Administration amendments of 1954 initiated a disability insurance, which provided the public with additional coverage against economic security, right? On April 1st, 1956, the Social Security Act was amended to provide benefits to disabled workers aged 50 to 64 and disabled adult children, right? In September 1960, Eisenhower signed a law amending disability rules to permit payment, right, benefits to disabled workers of any age and to their dependents. By 1960, 559,000 people were receiving disability benefits. So you can see how this whole thing about, a lot of people probably think about the Social Security, I'm going to retire. This thing had evolved, into a, I guess anybody retiring is going to get use that money to support their family, but here we are, that's for old people, old age individuals. Right now, this door is opening up, right? So we got disabled adult children, right? By 1960, 559,000 people were receiving disability benefits, with the average benefit being around $80 per month, which is nothing nowadays, right? In 1980, the 1980s, the Social Security program faced a serious short-term financing crisis. You need to pay attention to this part. It was a crisis in 1980. But Reagan appointed a blue ribbon panel, known as the Greenspan Commission, to study the financing issues and make recommendations for legislative changes. The final bill signed into law in 1983 made numerous changes in the Social Security and Medicare programs, including the taxation of Social Security. So now you pay a Social Security tax, and now they tax the tax money of benefit, right? The first coverage of federal employees under Social Security and an increase in the retirement age in the next century. So it means you got to be even older before retirement. So, you know, that one foot in the grave thing, that's what I call that. For you get, a friend of mine likes to talk about Social Security, get it now, because if you wait to get the full Monty, you're going to die. You ain't going to be able to use it. You die shortly after that. So, because it's around the age that people do die. Anyway, the Social Security system has evolved to provide support to American citizens and families in need, right? It went from providing benefits to the worker to providing benefits to the dependents of the worker and to disabled individuals. That's good stuff. Right? That is a good thing. A change to provide for most, right, if not all or many qualified U.S. workers or workers in the U.S. But I kind of struggle with the specifics of this because we talk about citizens, and I don't see people using the word citizens too much. Anyway, in these articles about Social Security, maybe it's assumed. Anyway, how did Social Security become available to non-citizens? You know, because we had a situation, right? Well, non-citizens are can get Social Security. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess the language used states benefits for workers and dependents. Worker means anyone who works in the U.S. If you have workers who are not paying or contributing into the dwindling SSI fund, you are excluding a financial resource to build or increase the Social Security fund. Thank you, illegal aliens who pay into the fund but do not receive benefits. And I'm not saying you should do that. I guess I'm being sarcastic. Maybe that's not funny to some people. If U.S. citizens have a problem with the inclusion of non-citizens for the benefit in the Social Security fund, maybe there should be a separate fund for non-citizens. What's wrong with that? They pay into it. How about that? The Non-Citizen Social Security Fund sounds just like when they created the Social Security Fund for citizens. I'm assuming it's for citizens, but it really says workers. And they're really referring to workers in America. I'm assuming that those workers are citizens, since if you're a non-citizen, you cannot just qualify for Social Security, certain qualifications, right? They went on to say, high-earning immigrants who have worked in the U.S. for between 10 and 20 years, it's very important, high-earning immigrants who have worked in the U.S. for between 10 and 20 years benefit the most from these decisions. For their first two decades of work, immigrants earning $10,000 or more per year receive 70 to 80% of the Social Security benefits paid for a full work life by native-born Americans. Now, I can see people thinking about rushing the Capitol over some, but these people can't rush the Capitol. These are all elderly people for the most part. So they're not rushing the Capitol. They're going to get there and please go to lunch and beat them at the Capitol. But here we go. How is that possible? Our immigrants, you know, getting all these perks that I'm sure American citizens would love to have, right? That sounds like citizens, that should make citizens a little hot under the collar. They work 10 to 20 years. You work until you have one foot in the grave at full retirement age. And I think it's safe to say something is wrong with this picture. From EmpireJustice.org, Ukrainian refugees may be entitled to SSI benefits. All right? So y'all know what's happening in Ukraine. Russia is at war with the Ukraine. Some people trying to get up out of there. Anyway, President Biden signed the additional Ukrainian Supplemental Appropriations Act on May 21st, 2022, which allows citizens, nationals, or residents of Ukraine paroled to the United States between February 24th, 2020 and September 30th, 2023 to receive Supplemental Security Income, SSI, benefits if otherwise eligible for 7 years. 7 years. Sponsor deeming will not apply. These provisions comport with SSI eligibility provisions for refugees and people seeking asylum, right? Asylees, right? So, here we go again. You've got to be thinking, what up with that? And why don't they have their own fund? From www.nber.org. And Social Security benefits of immigrants and the U.S.-born NBER working paper number 6478. Alan Gutzman and Thomas Steinmeier investigate the application. The application of the Social Security benefits formula to immigrants and U.S. natives. And here's what they came up with. For their first 2 decades of work in the United States, immigrants earning $10,000 or more per year receive 70 to 80% of the Social Security benefits paid for a full work life by native-born Americans. They said that, right? This means that each dollar of payroll tax contribution generates higher benefits for foreign-born than U.S. natives. Gutzman and Steinmeier compute Social Security benefits for both groups at representative ages and for comparable earnings. Right? So that's very important right there. And I know the Social Security thing is boring, but it ain't it's not boring when it helps you have a roof over your head, some heat in your house, some food in the refrigerator. Social Security is not boring. Hey, some people would probably help them more than that. Anyway, I started wondering, what is Social Security again? Whatever it is, it's not what it started out to be, right? How Social Security is financed, right? So we can go into that. Feels like the temperature just dropped in here. All right, anyway. Social Security is financed through a dedicated payroll tax. A dedicated payroll tax. Employers and employees each pay 6.2% of the wages up to the taxable maximum of $160,200 in 2023, right? Self-employed people pay 12.4%. In 2021, $980.6 billion, 90.1% of the total old age, 91% of total old age and survivors insurance and disability insurance income came from payroll taxes, right? That's very important because if we don't have enough people working, we're not going to have enough people paying into the Social Security for the next couple of generations, right? Because, as I just said, 90.1% of total old age and survivors insurance and disability insurance income came from payroll taxes. So a lot of things that impact on employment, technology, education, mental health, criminal background, all these things can impact on you being employed. Even though some people do employ people who have criminal backgrounds. Remember, the remainder was provided by interest earnings, right? $70.1 billion, 6.4%. And revenue from taxation of OASDI benefits, right? That's, don't be afraid of that because that's the same thing. That's just what it is. What's that? Old age something, right? Revenues from taxation of OASDI benefits were $37.6 billion, 3.4%, right? People that paid from that. The payroll tax rates are set by law, and the OASI and DI apply to earnings up to a certain amount, which we just talked about, right? So now it's up to $160,000-something taxable income for the Social Security Administration. If you make twice that much, you ain't going to get taxed on the 160. If you make $1 million, you only get taxed on the 160 something, right? Now, y'all feel about that? Because anybody else is, anybody that's not making that much is getting taxed on their whole income. What is the Social Security tax, right? So this is from www.investopedia.com. Social Security tax is a tax both employers and employees pay into the fund, the Social Security program in the U.S. Social Security tax is collected in the form of a payroll tax mandate by the Federal Institute, by the Federal Insurance Contributions Act, FICA tax, right? Probably see that on your check if you get one. Or self-employment tax mandated by the Self-Employed Contributions Act, SECA, right? The Social Security tax pays for the retirement, disability, and survivorship benefits that millions of Americans receive each year. OA survivors and disability insurance, OASDI, right? Right? It's a program. That's the official name for Social Security, except for some old folks, right? Key takeaways. Social Security tax fund, the retirement, disability, and survivorship benefits that millions of Americans receive each year, right? In 2022, Social Security tax rate was 12.4% divided evenly between employers and employees on a minimum wage base of $147,000, $160,200 in 2023. Self-employed individuals pay the employer and employee portions of Social Security tax, but only on 92.35% of the net business earnings. Certain groups, including some non-residential aliens and members of religious groups with specific views, are exempt from paying Social Security tax. How Social Security works. Right, so Social Security tax is applied to income earned by employees and self-employed taxpayers, right? Employers usually withhold this tax from employees' paychecks and forward it to to the government. Keep the record, right? So, the funds collected from employees, the Social Security, are not put into a trust for the individual employee. Remember? Told you it's like putting the money in the basket, right? Just in case you don't understand it. You're not getting your money. You're getting the money of the people before you are paid, right? So Social Security are not put into a trust for the individual employee or currently paying into the fund, but rather are used to pay existing older people in a pay-as-you-go system. So you working now, you paying the Social Security for people. Somebody else will pay yours when you get there. Hopefully, which is where I'm going to go, also going to go with the today's show. Social Security tax is also collected to support individuals who are entitled to survivorship benefits. So, right, we talked about four or five benefits to Social Security, right? As of 2002, Social Security tax rate is 12.4, half of the tax, or 6.2 is paid by the employer, right? 12.4%, 6.2. Your employer pay half, you pay half, right? President Joe Biden recently sent an emergency supplemental funding request to Congress for $33 billion in aid to Ukraine. However, the administration used the opportunity to sneak in an unlawful immigration benefit for hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian, Afghan, and Russian immigrants paid for by you, the American people, at the expense of lawful applicants who have been waiting years to properly immigrate to the U.S. So why is Biden trying to jump these people ahead of everybody? These benefits are being made available to non-citizens at the expense of every taxpaying American, and more to the expense of 100% of the taxable income of taxpaying Americans earning less than the income base of, in 2022, under $47,000 or $160,200 in 2023. Keywords here are taxpaying income base in American. The Americans, or people who make the most, pay the least percent of the income. So it is on the backs of the poor or working poor or middle class. Are they trying to get rid of the middle class or something? Seems like it. That is not equal protection under the law. It's extortion based on income or wealth. Or should I say lack of income and wealth. Anyway, from Yahoo. As of 2022, Pew identified a middle-income household as anywhere between $30,000 for a single adult to $67,000 for a household of five. All right, so that's right in there with what we're talking about. This is not evil genius. It is an example of how absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And street terms, money talks, and that other stuff was. What about taxpaying and non-taxpaying Americans who have been applying for Social Security benefits for years? Shouldn't they come before any non-citizen? In a perfect world, they would. In this world, even Americans can be treated as second-class citizens to non-citizens. What up with that? And imagine paying into a fund to give you financial support when you need it, right? When you become disabled, you retire, right? And someone who has not paid or is not a citizen and a non-contributor is offered or afforded that same benefit or financial support. That sucks, right? If you think that is being selfish, some people might say, oh, you're being selfish. People need help. If you have war in a country, they need some help. So they said, what is this from? www.ksl.com. It said the Social Security Trust Fund is grossly underfunded and is projected to run out of money by 2034. I'm going to read that one more time because we got all this. Come on in. Somebody said, come on in. We're going to give you some of this money. Got you. Just come on. Right? And some Americans, nope. Wait. Nope. Wait, nope. It says projected to run out of money in 2034. Right? That's a red flag. This is disturbing news for anyone relying on Social Security now or who is planning to file for their benefits in the near future. Then, in early 2020, the pandemic hit and unemployment shot up to 14%. So, they like to blame stuff on this pandemic. I noticed that too. But that's what they say. All right. Don't blame the messenger. Right? I'm the messenger. Don't shoot me. So anyway, okay. Threat number one, cut to your Social Security benefits. Right? Said cost of living increase will be 8.7%, right, in 2023. So that's going to hurt. I said that could really be bad news in the long run, right? Cut to your Social Security benefits. They had a 2023 cost of living increase will be 8.7%. Excuse me, I read that wrong. So, I said that sounds good, but it could really, in the long term, it could hurt you because Social Security has been on shaky ground for many years. Remember, they had looked back into this before, I think, during the Reagan administration. They had problems. It was shaking it, wobbling. Our Social Security Trust Fund is grossly underfunded and is projected to run out of money by 2034. This is disturbing news for anyone relying on Social Security, right? So if you want Social Security now, as saying, and you plan on applying for Social Security or retirement or whatever, Houston, we have a problem. You know, what does that have to do with Social Security? Well, 23 million people were suddenly out of jobs. So 23 million people were no longer contributing to Social Security, right, when that pandemic hit, right? Like we said, you know, we need those people. We need these, like, the people who came after me need to be paying into this fund so that I could get my Social Security. You know what I'm saying? As if I don't hit the lottery or become a multimillionaire, I won't need Social Security, right? So, but in the event that I do need Social Security, and if I was a millionaire, I would never go for Social Security. I would never need it. If I'm a multimillionaire, I don't need, you know, if I don't need it, period, I wouldn't try to get it. You know what I'm saying? It's for people who need it, trying to survive, and not by the skin of your teeth either. You don't got to lose your house and empty your bank account to get Social Security. Hope not, but, you know. That's me personally. If I had the money and I've been putting in the Social Security, I'm not going to just go into Social Security just to get the money. Anyway, in 2003, Social Security cost of living increased to 8.7%. So if you're relying on Social Security to help you pay for your expenses in retirement, the chances of your benefits being reduced are growing by the day. So, Don't quit your day job, your night job, or whatever job it is you got. They're saying basically don't quit it because you're going to get cut from the Social Security roster. They're going to cut your dough. And what can they do about it? It's kind of crazy for me. They say create other sources of income and retirement. Well, become your own boss. I'm totally in favor of that, becoming your own boss. It said the latest 8.7% cost of living increase could trigger higher taxes next year. Now, this is some crazy mess right here. So I'm trying to figure out higher taxes. You know, this thing about, this whole thing is about money. And next time I look, they print money. So depending on your taxable retirement income, the 8.7% cost of living increase in 2023 could unknowingly push you into a higher tax bracket, forcing you to pay even more taxes. Social Security benefits weren't taxed until 1984, right? If you're single, making more than $25,000 or $32,000, if you're married per year, you'll owe taxes on 50% of your benefits. 50%. If you're single and make more than $34,000 or $44,000, if you're married per year, you'll owe taxes up to 85% of your benefits. So it sounds like you need to get, I don't know. I'm just going to go through this here. But this whole thing about the Social Security thing is something else. Those income thresholds have never been adjusted for inflation. So as time goes on, the number of people who must pay taxes on their benefits will only increase. Now that might be evil genius. And if your income is below either one of those taxable amounts, the increase in benefits could push you over the threshold. And the more you owe in taxes or on your benefits, the less net dollars you have in Social Security income, right? Isn't Social Security a tax contribution? So they're taxing a tax contribution or double taxing people? Don't believe these guys? The Motley Fool says big changes could be coming. Big changes could be coming to Social Security by 2034, and these factors are to blame. Blame it on BL, right? According to the Social Security Administration, in June 2016 snapshot, some 60.5 million people, two-thirds of whom are retirees, are currently receiving Social Security benefits. For retired workers, that benefit works out to an average of $1,348.49 per month, right? On the surface, it may not sound like a lot, but Social Security benefits provide at least half of all monthly income for 48% of married elderly couples. 71% of unmarried elderly individuals rely on Social Security income for at least half of their monthly income. Social Security is a critical program for our nation's seniors, right? That's the original concept, right? Here's why Social Security is in trouble. Unfortunately, Social Security, Security's long-term foundation is shaky. The fund that pays out these 60.5 million people each year, the old age survivors and disability insurance, that's what Social Security used to be called, right? It's slated to run out of its $2.8 trillion in spare cash by the end of the year 2034. According to 2016 trustee report, by 2020, the program will be burning through its excess cash reserve, potentially leading to a benefit cut of up to 21% by 2034. Benefits cut of up to 21%. That means you're going to lose up to 21% of your Social Security benefit. Now you at jeopardy, in jeopardy of you paying a rent. You got to come up with that money. Or you got a roll, right? Same thing for your mortgage. Or maybe you pay for your house and rent it out or something. I don't know, but this is problematic. A cut in benefits that you're already struggling with, right? So this will happen when you don't have money behind what you say. All right? According to the 2016 trustee report, by 2020, the program will be burning through its excess cash reserves. Excess, right? Over the limit, right? Potentially leading to a benefits cut of up to 21%. So it seems like the government's in the habit of taking it out of you, taking it out on your behind, citizens, right? If you're one of those aforementioned couples or individuals who's reliant on Social Security for at least half of your monthly income and you're heading into retirement with very little in savings, this is a terrifying forecast, they said. Sounds terrifying to me because, hey, that's fixed income unless you're working somewhere else that easily will cover this here. I'd say, Houston, we have a problem. It says the tricky thing is that Social Security isn't just wrestling with one crisis. It has four big problems. A falling worker to beneficiary ratio, right? Between 2010 and 2030, we are liable to see more than 70 million baby boomers enter retirement. We got 70 million people coming into the Social Security system, which is already on shaky legs, right? It's already like not enough money, right? The Social Security system underfunded. We got 70 million baby boomers on their way, right? Which means a big surge in the number of eligible beneficiaries, right? There's going to be more people headed for that Social Security basket, right? The articles of Social Security simply couldn't predict, the architect of Social Security couldn't predict there would be such an incredible surge in birth rates, right? That's why it's called baby boomers, right? On the flip side, there just isn't enough new workers in the labor force to replace retiring boomers. So we got a lot of people going out, not enough people going into, so poverty must be increasing, and not enough people going into the labor force to replace the boomers. Between 2015 and 2035, the workers to beneficiary ratio is forecast to fall from 2.8 to 1. To as low as 2.1 to 1. In short, there won't be enough payroll tax revenue coming in to support the growing number of beneficiary payments heading out. Do not get rid of your day job. That's what that said to me. So you can retire if you want. These jokers saying, you don't let that be income that you're depending on. because it's on shaky ground. Rising life expectancies also, right? In the mid-1960s, the life expectancy of the average adult in the United States was about 70 years. By the mid-2010s, life expectancy has risen to 78.8 years. So I'm just going to say it. People ain't dying fast enough, right? They still hanging around. I mean, they hang around longer, they're taking more money from Social Security, right? People living longer than ever and able to draw Social Security payments for an extended period of time, as I said. Think about that. How many who is thinking about a solution to that problem? Near record low bond yield, right? Falling interest rates, right? The OASDI specifically invests in special issue bonds available only to trust funds, as well as small number of certificates of indebtedness, right? In the coming years, we're going to see bonds yielding 3.5% and maturing, leaving the trust invested in special issue bonds with low yields that may not top the inflation rate, right? The longer the Federal Reserve keeps rates near historic lows, the less interest income the OASDI will generate. All right? So we're not getting an investment, even investment of low, right? The question here is, who has enough Social Security income to invest? Many of the people I have come in contact with that have Social Security are barely making it. I ain't met nobody rich to get just making off of Social Security. You know, I mean, like, you know, congressional stalemate. It said the final big issue for Social Security is that Congress doesn't seem to be in a rush to correct what looks to be an imminent crash shortfall for the program, right? So, y'all should remember that when you get to the, even if you're not retirement age, you know, this is very important to know because these folks, you know, not representing you, not doing their job. So you got to crack the whip. Get those people out of office. And go do your thing. Anyway, try to get through this here. From Yahoo.com. Although to some degree it might seem as if billionaires and millionaires in the U.S. shouldn't be collecting Social Security, the truth is there is no law against it. Because who would have thought that a millionaire or a billionaire is going to collect this measly Social Security money? But they could qualify. They paid in, they worked. They could qualify. Just want to remind people, if you want to call in, remember, please call in at 516-531-9540. 516-531-9540. And I'm not trying to beat the Social Security Administration. I just want to say this because it's good to have that. But it seems like these guys are abusing it. To me, Biden, you know, I don't think Roosevelt made the Social Security for anybody, but maybe he did. I don't know. It seems like if you made it for anybody, we got these immigrant laws. It's just for anybody. Why you got this? Certain immigrants can get it. So it seems like it applies mainly to people that work in the United States, things like that, which is weird because you have citizens paying into that. Nobody asked me that I want to pay into Social Security. You know what I'm saying? So it's just being taken out of my check, right? And the next man's check, too. So based on that alone, that's that, how are people, how would anybody have the opportunity to be put in front of me? You know, I've been trying to get it. Anyway, they said, as millionaires and billionaires, by definition, earn more money than most Americans throughout their careers, they also pay higher amount of tax into the program. Just because they may not be in need when they retire doesn't mean that they haven't funded the program along the way more so even than most Americans. Well, hell, they're not. Let's hear it. This is a very interesting statement right here, because it sounds like the statement of a person saying he has more money than you, therefore he's doing more than you. But that has nothing to do with money coming out of your check. Because the thing about Social Security is you get your taxable income on your whole check. So if he really want to say he's doing that, then he needs to be taxed at the same rate that you are before he start running his mouth about how much money he's paying into a system. You know. Anyway. Even if he is paying more at the $160,200, your income is not being taxed at the same rate that a poor man's income is being taxed. Shut up, about the billionaires paying more. We don't care about that. We care about people being treated the same. And they, in the spirit of being treated the same in this country, should be taxed 100% of their income. Then you can say, oh, yeah, I'm being taxed the same way as you, but it's more money because I make more money. So what we're going to do, have this argument, the guy that made 15 is paying less than two Social Security, and the guy that make 30, the guy that make 60 is paying more than the guy that make 30. Come on. What kind of talk is that? That shouldn't even be an issue. Everybody should get taxed. If it's 100%, it should be 100%. They're saying you have a lot of money, so this is all you're going to get taxed. That's just BS. That's the attitude of the economically elite, though. Say, hey, I'm not paying them. I'm not taxed. You're not taxing all 100% of my income. You know how much money I make? That's that attitude. Try that, average Joe. Try to tell somebody, you're not taxing 100% of my $15,000 a year and calculate my Social Security tax and try that. See what happens. Apparently some rich folks, some wealthy folks can do that. We can't. So I see a lot of things going on. I see a lot. Social Security and in its substance is a good thing. You know, I'm sure a lot of countries don't have Social Security. I don't know because I didn't research it, but I mean, hey, it's a good thing to have the Social Security thing help you out, help you make ends meet. Whether it's enough or not, it's better than nothing. And I'm not saying be satisfied with nothing, but I'm just saying something is better than nothing, but you can't argue with that. So. How do the wealthy Americans benefit from the structure of Social Security taxes, right? I just mentioned that, right? That's very important. I mean, people need to remember that when you go to the polls or when you're talking to these representatives and stuff like that. And this is just not just you don't have to be on welfare just above the poverty level or because this thing is affecting the middle class. It's almost like the middle class is being pushed in the corner with the poor people. headed toward, maybe we headed toward that class of economic war where the rich is against the poor, and we may be at in that war at this time as we speak, but maybe there's going to be a conflict, because I see signs of it. Just discussing this Social Security benefit thing, you can see how the wealthy are being getting preferential treatment. It's not fair. It's not democratic. It's making these decisions. Anyway, so here's the thing with the everybody pay this 6.2. All workers, although all workers with earned income pay 6.2%, right, of the income in taxes, there's an income level above which tax vanishes, which I talked to you about. I mean, I already mentioned the 147,000, and now it's the 160,200. You won't have to pay that tax on your excess earnings. Well, what if I want to say, what if I want that? I want to, you know, somebody to determine or to determine that I have, what do you mean excess earnings? Who has excess earnings any damn way? What the hell does that mean? How is that? Somebody pay me $10,000, somebody pay me $40,000. What is excess about that? I don't feel it. If I make $10 million, that's excess earnings. That's earnings. That's because somebody put this name on it. Now they don't have to pay. I'm just saying. I said it before. Something is wrong with this picture. Now, that's something that is definitely wrong with Social Security. Right? Most Americans end up paying OASDI and Medicare taxes on 100% of their earnings. So I know y'all hear that. Eligible for Social Security benefits. Who? Just because you reach retirement age doesn't mean that you qualify for Social Security benefits. Technically. Well, let me see. Just because you reach the age don't mean you qualify, but you paid in. Right? And we got some people paying in, got a cap on the money they're going to tax them on. Everybody else going on 100%. Right? But I'm still going to say it's a good thing that we got Social Security. Right? So, you need 40 quarters of coverage to earn Social Security benefits, which for most workers means 10 years or more of paying Social Security taxes. So you got to work 10 years. But Social Security taxes only apply to earned income in the eyes of the IRS. Investment income, such as dividends from stocks, who are they talking about right here? And interest from bonds doesn't count as earned income. So maybe that's your retirement income, I guess. I don't know. That's not earned income. That's investment income. As many millionaires and billionaires inherit their wealth and live off investment income, this means they don't pay Social Security taxes and are thus ineligible for retirement benefits unless they work and pay taxes that way. Right, so they if you rich and you get paid a salary, I got paid $1 million to do this movie, I'm paying taxes. Maybe that's what happened to Wesley Snipes. I ain't trying to bash the brother either. I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe that's what happened to him. That's not an investment, that's an income. So maybe he didn't pay the taxes on that income. Excuse me, little itchy eye thing going on here. So, they pay more money into the Social Security system, so they receive more money from the Social Security system rather than they need it or not, they are taxed on a small portion, right? $147,000, $160,200, right, of their income, while the average American pays 100% of his tax on 100% of their earnings, something is wrong with this picture. Taxing wealthy Americans or those who earn more than $147,000 or $160,200, right, yearly at the same rate as Americans would yield greater interest rates on the taxable money, which would be more. Maybe taxing the wealthy or people who earn more than $140,000, $160,200 could support the failing Social Security Fund. Did they think about that? The government favors the oligarch. Why would the government favor the wealthy? It is very simple, because the wealthy control the government. Still, think that you're being taxed and represented in the political arena? It seems like your Uncle Sam likes to give you a Happy Meal before he rapes you. Ask yourself, would you allow yourself to be taxed on 100% of your $10,000 a year job, $20,000 a year job, $30,000 a year job, $40,000 a year job, $50,000 a year job, or $60,000 or more job? If you earn $5,000 a year, or 100% of your income is taxed, that is just wrong, unjust, and disproportionate on all levels. And I could see how we have all this disproportionate income in this country, because we have laws of being created to preserve and perpetuate wealth. The emergency request includes, back to Biden. Sorry, I just got off the track there, but I don't know. This thing is, this dude is trying to give stuff to immigrants. He ain't done government-wise. I'm not saying he was, because he ain't been around. Well, he's been around a long time. I'm not saying he's solely responsible, but I'm just saying government, you need to handle your business at home. But then again, if you find yourself saying something like that, it's probably because you're not who you think you are in this country and in government. And if you are who you think you are, make a move. They say emergency request includes $1.2 billion for the Department of Health and Human Services, with a nod to the Department of Homeland Security, Uniting for Ukraine program. This portion of the funding request includes robust and increased blanket immigration provisions for Ukrainians, Afghans, and Russians in the science, technology, engineering, and math or STEM fields. Now there, the plot thickens. All right? I don't know if you remember, if anybody read anything about in World War II, a lot of the scientists from Germany were given a pass. They came to the United States to work for the U.S. government. Check it out. One of the most curious categories mentioned is the Russian STEM professionals. With the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, it is surprising that the administration believes it will benefit U.S. national security interests. STEM professionals, really. Normally, these Russian nationals would be subject to visa caps, right? As far as refugees from Ukraine are concerned, of course, they're trying to escape the war, right? Nobody wants bombs dropped on their head. And we should absolutely support the country's effort to combat Russia's invasion. However, that does not mean that Biden or his Department of Homeland Security should get a free pass to once again disregard our nation's immigration laws, just as the Biden administration did with Afghan evacuees. It is wildly abusing the humanitarian parole system for Ukrainians. So, like I said, who is this man representing? Humanitarian parole allows people who might not normally be eligible for admission into the United States to be in the U.S. for a temporary period for urgent humanitarian reasons. Parole was always meant to be used rarely, with strict grounds of inadmissibility in mind, on a case-to-case basis, and for a temporary period of time. Not so under the Biden and the other Democrat administrations. So this whole thing about this parole, they're basically abusing their power as government representatives, agents, to do basically what they want to do. Right? So like I'm saying, well, show me a poor person that created a law. So anyway, if they encouraging a large group of Ukrainian citizens who are not otherwise eligible to live in the U.S. to travel halfway around the world instead of taking temporary refuge in a neighboring country to Ukraine hardly makes sense. Say, why won't they go to one of those countries? Why are you coming over here? Because I just told you, these guys want these, they want these guys they want are these people. People in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM fields. That's what they're trying. That's the smoking gun. So just like they did with the Germans in World War II, except for they're not on the ground. They don't have, I don't even know if they have boots on the ground, not to tell you the truth. Not supposed to have boots on the ground. But I got the feeling they do have boots on the ground. And they're not directly fighting Russia, their buddy, in two world wars. What's up with that? Probably need to do a show on that. What is the curious relationship between the United States and Russia? They can fight two world wars together, but they can't get along when they're not at war. Anyway, European nations have offered Ukrainians up to 3 years of residence with access to employment and social welfare. This enables them to easily return to Ukraine, right? Because they can take a bus out of the next country, right? They said this is solution is far more logical. Makes sense to me. Run to, that's like somebody from Philly running to Jersey or running to Delaware. I don't know. Truly humanitarian option for citizens of Ukraine and will help to ensure that people can get back to rebuild their country when the fighting ends, right? Yeah, why aren't they being encouraged to go to a neighboring country? Because apparently some talented folk over there, right? Immigration provides for Ukraine, Afghans, and Russians in the science, technology, engineering, and math or STEM fields. All right, so we got a portion of it where they're trying to get these scientists over here. That's why. So can non-citizens receive disability benefits? Yes, they can. I'm going to have to shorten it up because I'm running out of time. We got 5 minutes left. So they must qualify, right, for SSDI, right? Must have a Social Security number that was assigned to them on or after January 1st, 2004, or authorize them to work in the U.S., or must have a non-immigrant visa that is a B1, D1, or D2, and must be able to prove that they were in the U.S. lawfully in any given month for which benefits would be paid through SSDI and must be able to satisfy all other eligibility criteria, technical and medical, for receiving SSDI benefits. So, qualifications for SSI benefits for non-citizens is even more complex. You got to be a qualified alien and meet one of the predefined conditions or circumstances for eligibility. He or she must be a LAPR, or lawfully admitted permanent resident of the U.S. Must be have been conditionally admitted to the U.S. under the conditional entrance law prior to April 1, 1980. Specific circumstances, he or must be able to be a parolee in the U.S. for a period of 1 year or more, right? Under specific circumstances, right? He or she must be a parolee in the U.S. for a period of 1 year or more. He or she must hold refugee status, must have been granted asylum in the U.S., must have been a Haitian or Cuban non-citizen who was granted admittance into the U.S. under the Refugee Education Assistance Act of 1980. He or she must be an alien or, in some instances, a family member of another alien who has suffered extreme cruelty or battery in one's own nation. So you're fleeing for your own safety. And I'm going to have to close the show because I'm running out of time. There's a lot of information, but you can do your own research. They say Biden has been breaking the law, but I think breaking the law is kind of a thing that they do in this country. Even though we have some, it's like a pendulum we got. This thing is this swings both ways. We got some good stuff and we got some bad stuff going on in government. And I don't know if voting's going to change it. I think infiltration into government will. But you know, you got to have some brains and some balls to be in government here. All right. So until next week, y'all. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, all my callers and listeners, downloaders. Thank you. I want to also thank Mr. Kenneth Jones. Thank you very much. And remember, each one reach one, each one teach what. And because knowledge is a freedom that no one can take away from you. Once you get knowledge, nobody can take that away from you. Until next week, y'all. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green
Naked, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.